Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Ksubas Daf Ayin Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins three lines from the top of Daf Ayin Zayin. You'll notice a Mishnah that appears there. Before we begin the actual text, we glance at the side where we have a nosei, a topic heading, which reads, Mumin Bo'ish, if there are blemishes in the man, the husband, Ein koifim oisoi lohitzia. We don't force him to divorce his wife. This is in contrast to the sugyas, the sections of Gemara that we've been dealing with recently, where if a woman develops blemishes, so the husband has the option of divorcing her. And of course, if you're dealing with cases of blemishes that were not known to him and only discovered later, so he can divorce her and not even pay the ksuba. There are here shtei deos, two opinions. Mumin shehoyu bo lifnei nisuim, mumin shenoldu bo liachar nisuim. Blemishes that were there before the marriage, blemishes that appeared only after their marriage. In another area, Machlokes Tanoim im yesh lechalek bein mumim ketanim lemumim gedolim. Is there room for making a distinction between large blemishes versus small ones? Now the text, third line from the top, Hoish shenoldu bo mumin, a man in whom they're developed. Noldu literally means born, means they're developed in him blemishes. Ein koifin oisoi lohitzi. We don't force him to divorce the wife. Amar b'shungam liyo b'med v'amurim. When is this the case? B'mumin haktanim. When you're dealing with small mumin, insignificant blemishes. Avo b'mumin hagedolim koifin oisoi lohotzi. But with large ones, we will force him to divorce her. Rav Yehuda toni noldu. Rav Yehuda's version of our Mishnah is as we read it, with the word noldu. Noldu means they developed after they had married. Chiyabar Rav Toni Hoyu. Chiyo has a different version of the Mishnah than that which is printed above, and that is Hoyu means they were there. Man Domar Noldu, according to the opinion that says or learns the Mishnah with the word noldu, they developed after marriage, and we don't force him to divorce her. Kol shekein hoyu, all the more so, blemishes that were there beforehand, before they got married, the kosavra v'kibla, she was aware of them, and she accepted him that way. So of course we're not going to force him to divorce her. Man de omar hoyu, but he who learns the Mishnah, like Chiyo Barav's version, that the blemishes referred to are those that were there from beforehand, and the Mishnah says we don't force him to divorce her. Avol noldu lo. Not so, though, in the case of blemishes that developed after their marriage. Those were not known to her. How can she be expected to continue living with a man like that? So, in that case, we will force him to release her. Tanan. Omer b'shimon ben Gamliel, b'med v'murim. This we saw in our Mishnah. When is the halacha of we don't force? B'mumin ktanim, when you're dealing with insignificant blemishes. Avol b'mumin gedoylim kaifin oisei lahotzi. But when they're large blemishes, so then we will force him to allow her to be released, to give her a get. So that having been cited, we now analyze the two opinions in light of this. Bishlamo lamando mar noldu, according to the Rav Yehuda version, like we have it in our Mishnah, that the blemishes featured that we said ein kofin es lahotzi, those are blemishes that developed after their marriage. On those grounds, Rav Shmuel Gamliel can make a distinction between large ones, intolerable ones, versus the insignificant ones. So that, meaning what? That when the Tanakhama spoke about, we don't force a divorce, Rav Shmuel Gamliel say, yes, that's true, we don't force a divorce on those newly arisen small mumen, but the newly arisen large mumen, we can force him to divorce her. Elo Laman de Omar, Hoyu, but according to the Chiyo Barav version, that the mumen mentioned by the Tanakhama were mumen that were there all the time, Mali Gedolim, Mali Ketanim, Hosavra Vekibla. What distinction is there to be made between large ones where you would say we force versus small ones where we would not force? She saw the large ones also. They were there all the time. So why would Rav Shmuel Gamliel say that regarding large mumen that were there all the time, would we would force him to divorce her? The Gemara answers, there is logic to that, and it's as follows. True, they were there from before the marriage. However, kisvura hi shechol lekabel, she thought she would be able to manage living with a husband with those types of large blemishes. V'achshav ein yechol lekabel, but as time went on, she can no longer bear it. She can't manage it anymore. She can't tolerate it anymore. And that's a reasonable claim on her part. And hence, we will insist, if she so desires, of course, that the husband divorce her. Now we have a Mishnah. V'elu heim mumen gedolim. What are the mumen gedolim? Pirush Shulam Leil Kigon, Nismis Aino, Nikto Yodo, Venishbura Raglo. Examples of large, of significant blemishes would be his eye is blinded, his leg is amputated, or his arm is broken. Itmar, Rabbi Abba Bar Yankiv, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Halochuk Shimon Leo. Ravo Omar Rav Nachmon, Halocha Kedivrei Chachomim. Now, in ruling like Rav Shmuel Gamliel, that means a distinction will be made between the large mumen and the small ones. Ruling like the Chachomim says that under all circumstances, or under no circumstances, will we force her to divorce based on mumen. The Gemara asks, "Me, Omar Rav Yochanan Hachi, would Rav Yochanan have paskened that the Halocha is like Rav Shmuel Gamliel specifically over here?" Meaning, here we'd paskin like him, leaving room to think that in other areas we wouldn't paskin, we wouldn't rule like him. The Omar Rabba Barchan, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, again, we quote Rabbi Yochanan, Bechol Mokim, Shishona Rav Shmuel Gamliel b'Mishnasenu, wherever Rav Shmuel Gamliel appears in the Mishnah. Halocha Kemoso, we will follow him, Chutz, and now here there are three halochas that are referred to by individual phrases or words that we won't elaborate on, but just be aware that throughout the Shas, there are three areas where Rav Shmuel Gamliel says something, and Rabbi Yochanan would not paskin like him. Chutz me orev v'tzidon v'ray achrona. So just let's go over the point again. Rav Abba quotes Rabbi Yochanan as saying that the halacha is Rav Shmuel Gamliel. That leaves us with the impression that Rabbi Yochanan paskins here like Rav Shmuel Gamliel. But in other places, he wouldn't paskin like him. And yet you have this other quote of Rabbi Yochanan, who says, well, wherever Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel appears in the Mishnah, we will paskin like him, with three exceptions. So the Gemara explains, Amoroi ninhu valiba Rabbi Yochanan. What we have here is a machlokas amoroyim as to what Rabbi Yochanan really said. So according to Rabbi Barchana, Rabbi Yochanan made a sweeping statement to always paskin like Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel when he appears in Mishnayos. According to Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Yochanan didn't make such a sweeping statement. V'elu shekeifen oisoi lahotzi. Regarding the following, we will force him to divorce the wife if she should so desire. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, Mumen shelbal shekeifen lahotzi. Blemishes, or we'll say problems, in a man, in a husband, that would be grounds for a forced divorce, where we would insist on the husband divorcing her. Just parenthetically, when we say a forced divorce, one should realize that when a man actually gives the divorce document to the woman, he has to do so willingly. He cannot do against his will. There has to be an expression of willingness on his part at the actual time of giving the divorce document. But what we're referring to here is the idea of the courts, of the rabbis pressuring him into it, putting him into a position where he'll feel that he'll have to give it. But at the moment that he gives the divorce document, that he has to do so willingly. So we continue here. The Mishnah says, the elu shekoifen oisei lahotzion, based on the following, in other words, if the following occur or appear, we will force him to divorce her. Mukeshchin. We should point out that the most of these terms, the terms that will appear in the Mishnah, will be explained later in the Gemara. So the first one is Mukeshchin, a man who's afflicted with boils. Ubal polifus v'hamekametz v'hametzarif nechoshes v'habursi. Borsi is someone associated with tanning leather. Bain shohoyu ad shalonisu, whether they were there from before they got married, Bain Mishanisu Noldu, or whether they appeared after they got married. Even if they were there ahead of time, we can force him to divorce her, and we cannot claim that, well, didn't she know what she was getting into from the outset? The Al Kulan Amar Rabbi Meir, regarding all of these, Rabbi Meir said, Afapi Shehisna Imo, Yechola hi shetomar, even though she had made a condition with him that she will stick it out, though she knows that he has or he's involved with these things, Yechola hi shetomar, she can say, Sevura isi shani yechola lekabel, v'achshav eini yechola lekabel. I thought I would be able to manage living with you with these things, and now I realize I cannot. She has to accept the situation. Now, the Chachamim say that she has to accept the situation, of course, if she knew ahead of time that this is what he was, so she has to accept it. With the exception of a husband that's afflicted with boils, there the contact between man and wife, the intimacy, will result in his flesh being, let's say, eaten away. Rashi explains Mimakso Loshon Hamek Besoro, the Pasuk in Zechariah, and there the Meforshim on Hamek say Nomes. Nomes means the flesh gets melted away. Maisa B'tzidon, the Bursi Echod Shemes, there was an incident in Tzidon, a name of a place, where there was a leather tanner that died, V'hoyo lo ach Bursi. And he had a brother, and here we're dealing with a situation of Yibum, where the first husband left no children, and there is a widow, and he has a brother that's also a tanner. We might point out that a person involved in the occupation or the process of tanning involves very foul odors. So there's a surviving brother, also a tanner, Omru Chachomim. The Chachomim say, Yechilu hi shetomar, the widow, who's now a Yevoma, she can say, L'chicho yisi yechilu lekabel, regarding my marriage to your brother, I was able to stick it out, I was able to handle it. V'ulecha eini yechilu lekabel, but you, I can't accept it. In other words, we can add a dimension of interpretation. She there was some very special, say, qualities about her first husband that enabled her to overlook his being a tanner and survive that particular problem. But those qualities that were in the husband aren't present in his brother, and so she's confronted with the fact that he's a bursi, and that is a legitimate claim on her part. And therefore, the rabbis would then insist that the brother-in-law participates in the chalitza ceremony, thereby releasing her to marry whomever she wants. The Mishnah mentioned, amongst other things, Baal Polyphus. The Gemara asks, my Baal Polyphus. On the side, by way of introduction to this section of Gemara, we simply note, Pirush Hamumim Shenizkru B'Mishnah. Here the Gemara, in the upcoming lines, will be dealing with explaining the different terms mentioned in the Mishnah. So what is a Baal Polyphus? Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel. Reach HaChoitim. It's a foul smell coming from his nose. B'masnisa tana reach hapeh. In a Tanaic source, it's taught that it's bad breath. Rav Asi masni ipcha. If you notice, we had a Roman numeral number one, and now we have a Roman numeral number two, a second version of Shmuel and the masnisa. Then Rav Asi has it taught, masni ipcha means he has it taught in an opposite fashion, where Shmuel talks about reach hapeh. He knows Shmuel defines Polyphus as reach hapeh and the masnisa as reach hachoitem. Umonach ba simona, and Rav Asi, in trying to enable you to remember his version, he gives you a mnemonic, and that is Shmuel lo posik pume mikule pirkin. Literally means that Shmuel doesn't stop his speech, his talking, his commenting. Pume literally means his mouth. Shmuel doesn't stop talking throughout the whole perek. In other words, Shmuel appears in many, many sukkahs throughout this perek. What's the point of this mnemonic? That is, Shmuel is associated with peh, reach hapeh, and that's Rav Asi's version, that Shmuel is the one that interpreted Baal Polyphus as reach hapeh. V'hamekameitz, my mekameitz, what is meant by that? Omar Rav Yehuda, ze hamekabeitz tzoas klovim. This is someone whose occupation is to gather dog dung. Meisve, we have a source that says mekameitz ze bursi. So, bursi means a tanner, not a collector of dog feces. Ulatameich, so the Rav Yehuda responds to the questioner and says, according to you that are asking on me from that source, Tikshi Loch Masnisen, the Mishnah itself should be difficult. If you're saying that Mekameitz is Bursi, well, the Mishnah says, HaMekameitz VaMetzarif Nechoshes VeHaBursi. Now, if you look at the dashed underlining, you see that Mekameitz then is obviously something different than Bursi. So the questioner of Rav Yehuda has to deal with this problem. The Gemara says, Bishlam Masnisen Lo Kashya. The Mishnah is not a quote, is not a problem for the Brisa that was cited as a question of Rav Yehuda. Kan b'bursi gadol. The Mishnah, when it speaks about a bursi, is referring to a large bursi. Kan b'bursi katan. The Brisa, when it says that a makamitz is a bursi, that's a reference to a small bursi. So that in the Mishnah, reference is made to both kinds of tanners. A large operation, that's the bursi. The mekameitz is a small tanning operation. Elo the Rav Yehuda kashya. But according to Rav Yehuda, who said that a mekameitz is a bursi, that is, a mekameitz soas klovim, according to Rav Yehuda, we don't see mekameitz in Tanaic sources associated with soas klovim. The Gemara responds, Tanoihi. As far as what a Mekameitz is, that itself is a Machlokes Tanoim. And Rav Yehuda, who's an Amora, will find someone to base his opinion on. The source says, Mekameitz Zeborsi, V'yesh Omrim, Zeha Mekameitz Tzoyas Klovim. So the Yesh Omrim opinion, that is a Tanaic source upon whom Rav Yehuda the Amora can be based. V'hametzarif Nechoshes V'aborsi, my Mitzaref Nechoshes, Rav Ashi Omar, Hashli Dudi. We take a look at Rashi. And the Rashi that we're looking at is a bit more than halfway down the Rashi commentary. Mechashli Miraditin Nechoshes Va'oisin Mimenu Yoros U Masriachu. This is a person who's involved with flattening out copper for the purpose of eventually shaping it into pots. And Rashi makes the main point, and that is that a chashli dudi he is involved with something that has a very foul odor. And hence the husband carries around this foul odor with him. Rabo bar bar chana omar, ze hamechatech nechoshes meikoro. Rabo's version of mitzarif nechoshes is one who mines copper from where it's found in the earth. Tanya kavosi de Rabo bar bar chana. We have a brisa supporting Rabo's approach. Mitzarif ze hamechatech nechoshes meikoro. Exactly what Rabo bar bar chana said. Omar Rav, Ha'omer Eini Zon V'Eini Mefarnes, a man who declares, I am not going to support my wife. Eini Zon V'Eini Mefarnes, I'm not going to feed her, I'm not going to provide her with her other necessities. A man who says that, Yotzi V'Yitein Ksuba, he is to divorce her and pay her the Ksuba. Also, Rav Elozer, Omro, V'Shmaitza Kamei V'Shmuel. Rabbi Elozer acted as an intermediary, or as a go-between, carrying, transmitting Rav's teaching to Shmuel. Omar, Shmuel, upon hearing this, said, Achsua sairi le'Elozer, feed Elozer barley. Let him chew on barley. Now, barley is associated, you see throughout the Shas, as animal food. And so, in a sarcastic fashion, Shmuel is saying to Rebbe Elozer that you're an animal, that you are fit to eat barley, animal food. Ad shekoifen oisi lahotzi, instead of forcing a man like that to divorce her, yochofu lazun, force him to support her. The Rav, now what's behind Rav's logic that a man who declares, I'm not supporting my wife, that we force him to divorce her? The answer, the Rav's logic is, ein odom dor im nochosh bekfifa. Literally, a person cannot dwell with a snake in the same basket. Here you've got a husband that's expressed his antagonism, we'll say, to his wife in the form of, I'm not going to support you anymore. How do you expect her to live with a man like that? So that Rav does not see trying to force him to support her as being a solution when this husband's attitude toward his wife is very clear. Kisolik Rebbe Zera, Ashkeche le Rebbe Binyamin Bar Yefes. When Rebbe Zera went to Eretz Israel, he met Rebbe Binyamin. The Yosef Vekomar Lo Mishmei the Rebbe Yochanan. Rebbe Zera found Rebbe Binyamin Bar Yefes saying over that which Rav had said, but Rebbe Binyamin was saying it in the name of Rebbe Yochanan. Omar Le, Rebbe Zera, upon hearing, will say that teaching, namely, Eini zon veini mefanes yotzi v'yitein ksuba. So Rabbi Zera said, "Al da achsua siren lelozer bebavel." Regarding that, da means that or that halacha. They fed barley to Lozer in Bavel, meaning that it was a halacha that met with objection. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav Asi, ein me'asin elo lepsulos. On the side of the more under our nosei, our topic heading, we've written kfiya lahotzi, forcing a man to divorce, to send away psulos, women that are halachically speaking unfit. And another situation, shoas rishonim v'lo yolda, a man who was married to a wife and they lived together, they were married for 10 years, and she has not yet given birth. The issue of giving birth is associated with the mitzvah that a man has of pru urvu, of procreating. The diamond marking that you see in the Gemara is explained under the Mivneh, Shnei Lishonos Beshita Shmuel, two versions of Shmuel, two opinions of Shmuel, Beshohav Loyalda, regarding a couple that were married for 10 years and had no children. Now the Gemara. Omar Rav Yehuda Marav Asi Ein Me'asin Elo Lepsulos. This we read already, but it means we don't force a man to divorce his wife, with the exception of the case of a man married to a woman who is halachically forbidden for him to be married to. Ki Amriso Kamei Dishmuel Omar And Rav Asi said that when I said over this halacha of Rav in the presence of Shmuel, so Shmuel elaborated. Kigon almona l'kohen gadol ugusha l'chutzu l'kohen hedyo mamzeres nesin Israel bas Israel l'nosin mamzer. I have a list of four situations. The first is a widow who is unlawfully married to a kohen gadol. Meaning, when we say unlawfully, it means that a kohen gadol is forbidden to marry a widow. Grusha. Number two was a grusha chalutza, there's a divorced woman, or a woman who had been released from a yibum ban through chalitza, and she's married to a kohen, to a kohen hedyo, to a common kohen, meaning even to a common kohen, these types of women are forbidden, and we will force him to divorce them. A mamzeres and a sina al Israel, these are, mamzeres is an illegitimate person born through parents that were not allowed to cohabit with one another. Nesina is a person, in this case a woman, a descendant from people that were banned to marry into the Jewish people, and she did. So the husband is forced to divorce her. Bas Yisrael l'nosin l'mamzer. Likewise, a Jewish woman, a regular straightforward Jewish person married to a man that's either a Nosin or a Mamzer. We will force them apart. Avol Nosu Isha Vishal Yimo Esr Shanim V'lo Yolda. However, a man who's married to a wife for 10 years and she hasn't given birth, Ein Kaifin Oisoi. We don't force them apart. Rashi says that regarding the mitzvah Priyavia, that's delo kafinon a period of aribia. We don't force the separation in order for the man to fulfill that mitzvah. True, it's an important mitzvah, but we don't force people to fulfill it. Rav Tachlifa bar Avimar mar Shmuel. Here's you'll see a different version. Afilu nasa ishv shayima asr shanim v'lo yalda kafin oisai. That then regarding that very case, we do force him apart. We force him to divorce her. Tanan, we have a Mishnah, and it said, "Elu shekoyfen oisei lahoitzi, mukashchinu baal polifus." This is what we saw in our Mishnah, beginning of our Mishnah. So the Mishnah mentions, we'll say, forced divorces, meaning force. We force the husband, we force them apart. Bishlamo l'Rav Asi, Rav Asi was the Aleph opinion, who in presenting, or I should say the first opinion, the first diamond presentation of Shmuel, that the couple married for 10 years, we do not force apart. The Rabbanan Kotani, I made a slight error there. The Rav Asi says that in the case of psulos, we force them apart. Our Mishnah said that the following we force apart, the mukishchin, the baal polifus. The Mishnah did not make mention of forcing apart a couple that are psulos, that are forbidden to marry one another. Now that could have presented a problem. The Mishnah tells you when we do force apart. How do we explain Rav Asi, who says that we force apart the psulos? Why doesn't the Mishnah mention that? So, Bishlam Rav Asi, as far as Rav Asi's position is concerned, there's no problem. The Rabbonon Kotoni, the Raisa lo Kotoni. The Mishnah is interested in featuring cases that in which we force apart, where the forcing is based on pure rabbinic ruling. But things that are prohibited on a Torah level, for example, a Kohen Hed, you're married to a Grusha, that's forbidden on a Torah level. Those types of problems, lo kotani, our Mishnah does not deal with them. Our Mishnah deals with things that are purely rabbinic. Elo l'Rav Tachlifa bar Avimi, according to Rav Tachlifa, listening, it should teach in this list, it should teach amongst those that we force apart, Nosa Isha, Vishayma, Sushanim, Velo Yolda, Kaifanaisai. You see, according to Rav Asi, the issue of the Sho'imo, there's no forcing to begin with. So, of course, it doesn't belong in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah deals with in cases that we do force. But according to Rav Tachlifa, why isn't the case of Nosa Isha v'Sho'imo Esr Shon V'lo Yolda, why is that not taught in the list of people that we force apart? Omer of Nachman, Lo Kashya. There is no problem from the Mishnah on Rav Tachlifa's approach. Ha b'mili, ha b'shoti. It's true that we will force apart the couple that did not bear children. You know, force apart in the hopes of the husband marrying someone else and bearing children. We do force apart, and yet the case of forcing with regard to Puruvu, that's through convincing, through speech. The list of the Mishnah is dealing with shoti. Shoti means like a stick or a club, physical force. We will apply physical force if need be in order to have him divorce the wife. So that's why the forced divorce for Puruvu purposes is not mentioned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is focusing on those cases where we apply physical pressure. Maskif lo Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba is not happy with this answer because according to this answer, the kaifanai say, the forced separation of Puruvu is through speech. Yet the Pasuk says, Bidvorim lo yusar eved. To paraphrase this Pasuk, it's people don't get the message when you merely talk to them. In other words, if you want to accomplish convincing somebody, you're not going to do it through mere words. Now, of course, there's a lot of editorializing that one might do at this point, but for our purposes, we're not going to get into that. Just realize that that Rav Nachman does not take or appreciate speech and words of convincing as being effective. Therefore, when Rav Tachlifa says that the Shah, the Nosi Shah is Esr Shanim, we force, it's not going to be through just talking. Ela Omar Rabbi Abba, Hava Ha B'Shoti. Truth is, both the Mishnah's list and the case of the couple, the childless couple, we will force them apart B'Shoti, with, we'll call it physical means, with sticks. So then why isn't the case of Shah Imo Yesir Shon V'Yolda included in the Mishnah? The Gemara goes on at the top of Omid Beis. Hosam, in the case of the Mishnah, Ki Omra Havino Badei, where she agrees to stick it out with him. The Mishnah mentioned the Baal Polyphus, the Mekamites, all these, some of these odoriferous professions. If she says, I'm going to stick it out with him, Shavkino, we let her do so. Hacha, in the case of Puruvu, it's different. It doesn't belong in the Mishnah because Afagav the Omra Avina Bahadei, even though she declares, I want to remain with him, Lo Shavkina Lo. We will not allow her to remain with him. There's a point that I think that Rashi made earlier that we should simply be aware of. Rashi that I'm referring to is the second to last Rashi, Dibra Masfil on Omid Aleph. Listening Nosi Isha Visha, regarding Rav Tachlifa, who spoke about the couple who was childless that should be forced apart. It should have been in our Mishnah. The Maraisa Lo Machayev Lafuki Lafuka the Efshalikach Lo Isha Cheres Etzla. On a strictly Torah level, if the woman was childless, that's not reason for sending her away. The man, from the Torah perspective, can take another wife. Polygamy is okay. Avol midarabonon komar. When Rav Tachlifa says we force them apart, that's on a rabbinic level. The chokama diso laha gabe lo nosiv achriti. It's even before, we'll say, the latter rabbinic edict of non-polygamy, in the course of time, it seems that as long as a man is married to one woman, he's not going to marry another woman, or possibly another woman isn't going to want to marry him. So that it's on a rabbinic level, if the couple, according to Rav Tachlif, if the couple is childless, they have to separate. And the option of simply taking another woman in practical terms is not in the cards. Now we continue with our Gemara at the top of Amud Beis. We started already the Gemara at the top of Amud Beis with a resolution of why the case of Shoyim Ma'aser Shonim is not included in the Mishnah, because our Mishnah is features those kind of problems where the woman, upon her declaring, "I will stick it out with him," we let her remain with him. As opposed to the case of Puravu, if she says, "I want to remain with him," we don't allow that. We insist on his divorcing her so that he'll be able to produce children. The Gemara asks, "Varei Mukeshchin, the Afal Gav, the Omra Havino Bade, Lo Shavkin Law." Our Mishnah, you said, represented cases where if the woman says, "I will stick it out with him," we let her. But Mukeshchin is mentioned in the Mishnah, and we know there that even if she says she'll stick it out with him, we don't allow her. And just skipping the brackets for a moment, Vikotani, and it appears in the Mishnah. On the now let's read the brackets. We say that in the case of Mukeshchin, if she says, "I want to stay with him," we don't let her. Disnan, chutz Mukeshchin, b'nei shememak malso. The man afflicted by Mukeshchin, if he lives together with his wife, as husband and wife do, she will end up eroding his flesh. So what do we see? We see that to describe our Mishnah as things of where she says, "I want to stay with him," we let her. That's not so, because our Mishnah mentions Mukeshchin. The Gemara responds, Hosam, in the case of Mukeshchin, ki amra dayarno bahadei besadi, shafkinelo, I will live with him in the presence of witnesses, meaning the witnesses will keep us apart, so I won't end up eroding his flesh. And we, with that declaration that I'll live with him with witnesses, we allow her to do so. Hacha, in the case of Puravu, Afagav di Omra, even if she says Dayarno Bahadei Basadi, I want to remain living with him in the presence of witnesses, Lo Shavkina Lo, we're not going to leave her being like that. So that the Mishnah, which speaks about the cases where we force them apart, has as its list things where if she says, "I will live with him with witnesses," we allow that to continue, and that will include the Mukeshchin. The case of the Puravu doesn't conform to that, doesn't figure in such a list, because there, even if she says, "I will live together with him in the presence of witnesses," we still won't allow them to continue together. Tanya, Omar Rabbi Yossi, Sochli Zokin Echad Me'ad Shir Shalayim. Rabbi Yossi tells us that I was once told by an elderly man in Jerusalem, Esrim v'arba mukeshchin hein, there are 24 different types of mukeshchin. V'kule, v'kulon, amru chachomim tashmish koshelahem. Regarding all these different forms of being mukeshchin, a man like that will suffer during intimacy. And as intimacy is injurious to a man who is afflicted by any one of the 24 mukeshchin. Ubali Rosan Kosha Mikulan. Bali Rosan is a type of ailment which is associated with some type of creature that grows in within his skull. And that is it's one of the types of Bali Rosan, and that's the worst of all. The Gemara markings that you see in the Gemara, the triangles, are explained on this side under the Nosei Mivneh heading. So the triangles introduce Protim al Mukeshchim, details regarding this ailment or affliction of being a Mukeshchim, afflicted by Shchin. Shchin often is translated as boils, but we don't have to commit ourselves to a translation. The Gemara asks, Mimai Have? From what does it come? The Sanya, Heki is Dam Bashimesh, a man who experiences bloodletting, one of the Talmudic remedy procedures. And after he kakosas dam, he has intimacy with his wife and impregnates her. Havyon lo bonim v'sikin. He'll have weak children. He kizu shneim, if the man and wife had hakosas adam, had bloodletting done to them, and then had intimacy, v'shimshu, had intimacy. Havyon lo bonim bale rosan. And we dashed on the bale rosan. That's the reason this is quoted. We asked, what does it come from? So we explained, Bali Rosen will come about through a couple, man and wife, that had bloodletting, and then the woman was impregnated. Omar Rav Papa, Lo Amoran El Dolotoi Midi. The description of Bali Rosen coming from the couple that had Akozestam, that will be if they didn't eat anything. Avotoi Midi, Les Lanba. If after bloodletting they ate something and then had intimacy, that would not be any problem. My Simone, how does one recognize someone who's afflicted by this? Answer, Dolphon Ene, Vedaive Nechire, Veise Le Riro Mipume. All kinds of emissions come from different orifices. His eyes will drip. Nechire, his nose will be also liquidy, fluidy, and some type of saliva or slime will drip forth from his mouth. So if you see these phenomena on an individual, you will know that he has been afflicted. V'romu divi iluya, and finally, flies are always swarming about him. Umayasute, what is the suggested remedy? Amar Abaye. So now we have a number of lines. We call this a long point. It's all dedicated to the remedy of someone afflicted with this ailment called being a Bali Rasan. We're going to describe something here very dramatic. Apparently, this Bali Rasan is associated with some type of worm or creature that grows within within one's skull above the brain's membrane. So what is the solution? Umayasute omra baye. So he lists there's a list of ingredients right now. Pila veludna, girdo de goiza, vegirdo de ashpa, the kolo malko umasla didiko sumka. Those are the ingredients. How to translate them? Rashi, you'll see from time to time, gives a French translation. Filo is a type of grass. Ludna, we don't have. Rashi gives a French word for ludna, and girdo de agoze is the bark of a nut tree, and girdo de ashpa. There's another girsa de ashkifa. It's that which you would scrape off from skins in preparing skins for whatever use you want. So there's the material that's scraped off of that. That's called the girda de ashpa. Kolo malka is a type of plant called a chavatzeles. And maskla de diklusumka, Rashi explains that on the third narrow line, shomer sheyesh lahem litmorim bekatnuson ke'en sheyesh legozim bektanim. It's some type of peel that dates have when they are unripe, when they're small yet. Similar to some type of covering or shell or peel that nuts have when they're still underdeveloped. So that's the maskola de dikla sumka. All these ingredients mentioned, vishalik lu badi adoli, then they're all boiled together. Umayel lay the base of the shisha. Then we take the patient to a base of the shisha. This is literally a marble-walled structure, a room or a building. The main thing is that it's a place that there's no breeze, there's no wind that's felt there. The lo ika, a base of the shisha, and if you don't have access, you don't have available a base of the shisha, there's an alternative. Mayole le base of the shev livni varicha. He's brought into a room that has walls that are 7.5 bricks in thickness. Now, each brick was 3 tvachim. So it's 7 times 3 is 21, plus a half is 1.5. So it'd be 22.5 bricks thick. The notil lay tlas mea kosi al reshe. And then they spill from this the brew that we made reference to just before. They spill 300 cups of this on his head, ad de rafia arisa de moche, until his skull becomes soft, and with the skull being soft, so it's easy to cut into it, vikora le moche, and the skull is torn open. And at that point, you'll notice the sheretz, this either worm or other insect-like creature, and it has to be removed. But one thing's for sure, you can't just grab the body of this insect and take it out, because what happens is it, when it feels pressure being applied to its body, it automatically clenches its feet, and it'll be clenching its feet on the fellow's brain membrane. And taking the creature out in that state where it's clenching onto the membrane, it could end up tearing that, what's called a krum shel moach. And if that krum shel moach is torn, that is that could have fatal consequences. So what do we do in order to prevent that? So we have to coax the insect coax the insect in such a way as follows. Umaisi arba tirvi da'asa. You bring 4 myrtle branch leaves from the hadas branch that we're familiar with from Sukkah. You take 4 leaves from that. Umadli kochad karo umoisiv chad. And you say coax the creature to lift its leg on, lift its own leg and place it down on the leaf, so that you'll have, in effect, the 4 insect legs are placed, each one on a separate myrtle leaf. And once the creature is no longer clinging to the membrane itself, but rather it's standing on these leaves, v'shokil b'tzafso, and then you remove this sheretz with a tweezers or a tongs. A tzafso is a type of tweezer, tong-like vessel, which enables you to lift the creature up. And once you do that, the kuli lay, and then you burn that sheretz. The ilo, if you don't burn that sheretz, hoder iluyo, he will return. Machriz Rav Yochanan made an announcement. He said, "Hizaru mivzvuvi shel balei rosan." Be careful to not have any contact with the flies that congregate around the balei rosan. Rabbi Zeiro, now a few comments regarding the balei rosan. Rabbi Zeiro lo hava yosef bezikei. Rabbi Zeiro would not sit in the breeze blowing over a balei rosan. Rashi says, the second line from the bottom, bezikei b'mokem shetenoshe ruach achas al shneim. Rabbi Zeiro would avoid being in a place that when the wind would blow, that one wind would cover, would blow across the balei rosan and himself. Rabbi Lozer lo ayel balei. Rabbi Lozer would not enter a tent, could be a room, a sanctuary in which a balei rosan was present. Rabami Ravasi lo havu achli mi bei dahi mevua. They would not even eat from the eggs coming from the same alleyway in which a balei rosan was dwelling. So you can see up till now we had four comments as to how one should avoid the balei rosan. In stark contrast to that, we see an amazing story featuring Reb Shua ben Levi. On the side of the Gemara under our Nosei Mivne heading, we feature a diamond. The diamond highlights the names of Reb Shua ben Levi and later Reb Chanina bar Popa. Maisim shel mivgash im malach hamavos. Very, very dramatic. Gemara, you'll see these rabbis encounter the angel of death. Reb Yeshua ben Levi, And do note, of course, that we also have a long marking called long Maisa, which encompasses both incidents, both stories. Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Mishrach Behu, Rabbi Shua ben Levi in stark contrast to all the words of counsel, the aitzes that were given till now, he did the opposite. He cleaved unto them. He embraced them. The Osik B'Torah, his embracing of them was while he was studying Torah. Rashi says, Michruch Bu, Rashi appears in two columns. So in the outside column, Rashi says, Nidbak Etzlam, B'Shosh She'osik B'Torah, U'Moshivon Etzlo, U'Muftochu She'togein HaTorah Olav V'lo Yuzak. That while he was learning Torah, he would learn, possibly teach the Balei Rosan, very in close proximity, and he was of belief or experience a feeling of security that the Torah that he's learning will be a source of protection, that he won't suffer from them. And the Gemara explains that very point. Now, Omar, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi reasoned, he said, Ayelas Eivim V'Yalas Chein, regarding the Torah, this pasuk is stated, Im Chein Ma'al Alamdel, if the Torah is capable of creating a sense of grace, Chein, pleasure and grace, a sort of like aura over over an individual that learns Torah, Aguni Lo Magna, would the Torah not protect the individual? Ki Havishachiv, this expression appears here and also in the upcoming story. That's why we marked it off. It's an expression that means when he was about to die, when his time for parting from this world came. Omru le lemala chamoves. They, could be the heavenly court, told the angel of death, Zil Ovid le Ruuse, go fulfill his request. This is a common idea or practice that people on death row, for example, they're granted their last wish. That idea is what is referred to here by the Gemara. He's about to die. Give him a wish. Give him a chance to fulfill a desire of his. Also, is Chazi Levi, Malach HaMoves, went and appeared to Rabbi Shimon ben Levi. Amalei, Rabbi Shimon ben Levi says, Achvi li duchtoi. I want you to show me where I will be in Gan Eden, in the world of we'll call it the heavenly world, where people after their sojourn in this world end up, Gan Eden. I want you to show me where I will be in that place. Omar Lei L'chayi. So the Machva says, fine, yes, I will do that. Omar Lei. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, Havli Sakinoch. Machamavis had a special knife through which he took people's souls. I want you to give me that knife. Dilma Mivasis li beurcha. Since otherwise you might frighten me on the way. The Gemara tells us that Yohava Nihalei, the Malach HaMavis, cooperated, gave him the knife. Kimota lohasam dalia komachvile. When they got to the entrance to Gan Eden, for imagery purposes, just imagine the place was surrounded by a wall. So Machameves Dalia means raised. Rav Shimon Levi picked him up and showed him where he will be. Well, with that having been done, he took advantage of the opportunity. Shovar. Shovar means Rav Shimon Levi, he jumped. Shovar is to jump. Nofalu Gisa, and he jumped over the wall into Gan Eden. Here is an illustration of someone who seems to have entered the world to come without experiencing death. Nakte Bekarna de Glime. Malchamavis grabbed the corner of Rabbi Shimon ben Levi's cloak. Omar Lei, Rabbi Shimon ben Levi says, Bishwasa de lo asinu, I swear I'm not coming back. Omar Kutshebrichu, the Almighty intervenes at this point and says, I itchel ashwasa nehader. I lo lo nehader. That means if you have ever taken an oath and had the oath rescinded, then you've got to go back. But if not, if you're a man that's taken oaths and always kept those oaths, never canceled them, then here you took an oath, you don't have to go back. Omar Lay, so the Malach HaMavis in desperation says, Havli Sakinoi, give me my knife. You got my knife. I need that. Lo Havik Koyohiv Lay. Rabbi Shimon Levi refused to give it to him. Nofak Bas Kolov Yomro Lay, a heavenly voice came out and instructed, Hav Nihalei Demisva Lebraisa. You have to give him his knife. He needs it for the creatures, meaning for people. He has a job to do. The Malach HaMavis takes people. He is the one that is responsible for their death. He needs the knife for that. Machriz Elio Kamei, Elio, the prophet Elio announces, Panu Mokum Lebar Livoi, Panu Mokum Lebar Livoi. Make room for Bar Livoi. It's Ben Levi, it's Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi. Make room for Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi. Ozal Ashkechei, Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochoi, Davi Yosef Altlas Osar Taktiki Pisa. Rabbi Shimon Levi found Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochoi there in Gan Eden, in paradise, sitting on 13 taktiki, on 13 stools, I guess like a pile of chairs, if you will, each one made of gold, one piled on the other. Maybe we should have issued a disclaimer before this section of Gemara, but it's not too late. Realize that what we're learning now, whether or not it should be taken literally is highly questionable. These are very, very esoteric areas. The way of our sages is to present, we'll say, to present very holy, deep ideas in simplistic type imagery, thereby, in effect, hiding the deeper meaning, which is revealed to those that are capable of understanding these things through intense study and association with people who actually know the secret to these Gemaras. But Gemara markings, as I'm sure everyone is well aware, is not engaged in that level of understanding. It will suffice for us to present the translation as we have been doing. So we continue. Omar Lay, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochoi says, Atu Bar Livoi, are you Rabbi Shimon Levi? In other words, in that world, it was known about this great man, Rabbi Shua Ben Levi. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochoi says to him, are you that one that we've heard about? I'm like, hey, yeah, I'm him. I am he. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochoi asks, well, Nira saw Keshes Biomecha? Throughout your lifetime, was a rainbow ever seen? Omar Lay, hey, yes. Now, one should be aware that the rainbow is a sign that the Almighty will not destroy His world. In other words, it's a situation where the Almighty would, let's say, have pretense for destroying the world, but He made an agreement at the conclusion of the flood in the time of Noah that He won't do that anymore. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochoi asks him, in your time was a rainbow visible? And he says, yes. Well then, Imkain Iyata Bar Levoi, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochoi says back then, you're not Rabbi Shimon Ben Levi. Rashi points out that if in the generation there is a Tzadik Gomor, a completely righteous individual, there's no need for that sign. The fact that the Tzadik Gomor is present in the world, the Almighty wouldn't have even a thought to destroy the world. In other words, it's like saying, again, on a very simplistic level, it's as if it's like saying that when you have a tzaddik in the generation, a tzaddik gomor, the Almighty doesn't need any reminder not to destroy the world. So if a rainbow was visible, it's called a keshes in Hebrew. If it was visible in your lifetime, then it's a sure sign that you're not a Tzadik Gomor. You can't be Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi. The Gemara says, Velohi, it's not true. It really was Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi. And why then did he say what he did when asked about the Keshes? He said, yeah, one was visible. The truth is, the lo havoi midi. There was no Keshes in his lifetime. Elo Sovar Delo Achsik Tivusa Nafshoi. He didn't want to have a situation of people a sense of debt owed to him because he was there preventing the Keshes, that his presence in the generation is what really sustained the world. He didn't want that's called Machsik Tivusa Nafshei, creating a feeling that people owe him something. So therefore, he made it as if the rainbow was visible and that he is not the Tzadik Gomer, which in fact he was. And now another story. Rabbi Chanina Bar Popa, Shushbinei Havet. Rabbi Chanina Bar Popa was a very close friend of the Malach HaMoves, of the Angel of Death. Ki Ava Konicho Nafshei, when his time to die arrived, Omru Le LeMalach HaMoves Zil Ovid Le Ruse. Same thing that we saw above. Go do his will, his last will, provide for him his last request. Also, Legabe Vizchazi Le. The Malach HaMoves appears to Rabbi Chanina. Omar Le, Rabbi Chanina says, Shavki Talsin Yorim, leave me for another 30 days, Ad Nahadu Talmudoi, giving me enough time to review my Torah learning. The Amri, it has been said, Ashrei Misha Bo Latan V'Talmudo B'Yodo, fortunate is the one who comes here, meaning to the afterlife, with his learning in his hand, meaning with fluency in his learning. Shavke, so the Malach HaMoves granted that request. The Boser Talsin Yoimin, after 30 days, Ozal is Chazilei. The Malach HaMoves appears again to Rabbi Chanina Bar Popa. Omar Lei, Rabbi Chanina says, Achvi li duchtoi. I want you to show me where I will be in Gan Eden. Omar Lei, Lechayi, fine, I will. Omar Lei, Havli Sakinoch, Dilma Mavisit li Burcha. Give me your knife, for without which I am afraid you will instill fear upon me. Omar Le, so the Malach HaMoves says, I think I've heard this before. He says, Kechavroch Bois Lemevali, do you plan to do like your friend did to me? A reference to Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Omar Le, so Rabbi Chanina says, I see Sefer Torah v'chozi mi'iko midi dechsiv bei delo kiamte. Bring a Sefer Torah, and you show me if there's anything in this, in the Sefer Torah, if there's anything in Torah law that is stated that I have not fulfilled. In other words, if you did so for Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, then you should do the same for me. I'm like him. Omar Lei, the Malach HaMoves says, well, are you really like him? Mi ichrichis bebalei rosan viaskis betorah? Did you embrace the Bali Rosan and learn Torah with them? That you can see the practice of Shulam Levi put him one cut above everybody else. Vafilu Hachi, and even so, even though maybe he Rabbi Chanina Bar Popa didn't do that, Kinoch Nafshe, when he died, Ifsik Le Amudo Denura Ben Didei La Alma. There was a pillar of fire that emerged and stood between him, between his body and the rest of the assembled, and they couldn't draw unto him to care for him to eulogize him. Ugemiri the lo mafsiku muda denura el lechad bedora el train bedora, and we have a tradition that this phenomenon of this pillar of fire doesn't appear other than to one or two in any generation. So he was obviously a very great man. Korav Legabe, Rebbe Lozer, Rebbe Alexandri. Rebbe Alexandri drew near to this. Omar Asei Bishvil Kvod Chachomim. So he's like appealing to the spirit of Rabbi Chanina Bar Popa, possibly, and saying, move this pillar of fire away so we can tend to you out of honor to the Chachomim. Lo Ashkech, he paid no attention. Asei b'shul kvod avicha, do for the honor of your father. Lo Ashkech, he didn't heed that either. Asei b'shul kvod atzmecha, do so out of honor to yourself. In other words, that we should be able to draw unto you, eulogize you properly, and bury you properly. Istalik. So the Amuda Denura departed. Omar Abaye. This Abaye addresses this particular pillar of fire. What was it? It was there to keep away anyone who was not Mekayim all of the Torah like he was. That's Lafuki Miman Delo Kiyem. Rashi explains, Omar Abaye Lafuki Miman Delo Kiyem Amud Zebola Hotzi Me'alov Mishalo Kiyem Es Kol HaTorah Kemoshe Kiyem Hu. It was there to keep away people that were not on the same spiritual level and Torah fulfillment as he was. Omale Rav Ado Bar Matana, we continue in the Gemara. Lafuke Mimor Rav Ada says to Abaye, he says, yeah, that pillar is there to keep you away, the lo isle Michael Igre. You don't have a proper fence that the Torah requires around one's roof. One's flat roof without a fence around it is actually quite dangerous. People could fall off. And you don't fulfill that. The Lohi Limur says that's not true. Me'avahava Abaye had a fence around his roof as the Torah requires. So why did Rav Ada say that? Vahi Shaita Hu Deshajazik. At that point, at that moment, I guess the moment that Rav Ada was walking by Abaye's house, there a wind had blown and knocked it down. So that's why Rav Ada thought that Abaye didn't have a Micah. Omar Rabbi Chanina, Mipnei Ma Ein Bale Rosson Bebavel. Why in Babylonia do we not hear of Bale Rosson? Why are there no Bale Rosson there? They Sha'ichlin Tradin, because they eat this kind of vegetation called Tradin. The Shoisin Shecher Shalhizmi. Shecher is beer. It's called, we'll call it, they drink Hizmi beer. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Mipnei Ma Ein Mitzoroyan Bebavel. Why do we know that there are no Mitzoroyan in Bavel? Tsaras, it's a skin affliction that we see the Torah refers to in Parshas Tazria, primarily in Parshas Tazria. Why are there no Mitzorayin in Bavel? Mitnei, Sheichlin, Treden, Vesheisin, Shechar, like the two things we just saw regarding the Bali, the antidote or the method of avoiding Bali Rosan. Here too, the first two elements are similar. They eat Treden, they drink beer. V'reichetzin b'mei poras, and they bathe in the waters of the Poras River. As you can see, we were zeichet to complete the seventh perek of Ksubas. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. You might want to get in touch with us for the purpose of accessing marked Gemaras. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.